This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers politics, business, culture, and more for the KUAF listening area. This has been an extraordinarily busy November so far, Michael.
Yes, it has, and I'm hoping that this Friday, I'm hoping the news world just shuts down. I mean, other than the folks saying they're not going to produce any more Twinkies,
that's
all the news we make today.
Well, let's start with a bit of a change in financial news. Home prices in the Fort Smith region are apparently going up.
Yes, it's a good sign. I mean, the number of homes sold is still down year to date, but the value is holding. And if you're looking for a good sign, you want to see those values hold, and that's what we're seeing. In October, homes sold in Sebastian County, there were 91 homes sold. A value of just short of $14 million, and that compares to 88 homes sold last year for $11 million. So that is a good sign. We're still seeing, we're still seeing realtors say that this job insecurity mixed with tighter lending criteria is still making it difficult. You know, people just either they can't get the loan or they're just going to hold on to this house. Or they're going to continue to rent until they know what the economy, especially the local economy, is going to do. But as you noted, it's nice to see an increase in stability in home prices in the Fort Smith area.
Just not that flexibility for many people yet.
No, I mean it's just still a lot of uncertainty. It's just it's the darnest thing I've ever seen, Kyle. Just uncertainty lasting this long. But when you have Whirlpool that has left, and people are uncertain what Rheem's going to do, what Train will do. It's people are just a little jumpy.
Some mixed news. Walmart released earnings news yesterday before the markets opened. Profits, but just narrowly missed what they thought they would have.
Right, especially on the revenue side, their profit side is up. The revenue side is a little bit down, and they did reaffirm their full year guidance and. So they're saying they're still going to pull it out in the fourth quarter, but we're still seeing a lot of pressure. Walmart's getting a lot of pressure from online, from Amazon. You know, Target's no longer. Target's always going to be a competitor, but it's not the one that can hurt them the most. And then yesterday we learned also that Walmart, essentially the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, is requiring Walmart to be a little more transparent with shareholders about other countries in which there may be some concerns with violations of the Foreign Corruption Practices Act. We've had the allegations in Mexico about bribery, bribing officials to get stores open sooner. Well, now they're apparently looking at similar allegations in China, India, and Brazil. Hang on. Here we go again.
Those are three big markets, Brazil, China, and India.
They're huge. I mean, and that's the core. If you've kept up with Walmart at all, those, especially China, are the core of their international sales, and their international sales has been their champion the past several years in terms of keeping them, allowing them to hit their income targets. And so, they're in South Africa. That's another big market. But those three, that's the big three for them.
One of the strongest signs of the regional economy has been the hospitality sector, and it continues to show very strong numbers.
Yes, it's in Northwest Arkansas. We shouldn't be amazed that they're still having high numbers, but it's the level. It's the double digit. It's the 17% increases overall among the five cities in Northwest Arkansas in terms of hospitality tax collections. Again, a lot of that's driven by, the business travelers from Walmart, but we're also seeing the increase in the visitors to Crystal Bridges. The Crystal Bridges officials are reporting that their target was 250,000 visitors in the first year. Well, whoops, they kind of broke that and went over to 600,000. So, not whoops, that's good news.
Right.
So that's a clear example of where we're getting a lot of these higher hospitality tax collections. And down in Fort Smith and Van Buren, those cities are up over 6% year to date, and that's a healthy increase. And so both of those markets are tracking along the national tourism sector, which is even nationwide, the business and tourism travel has been one of the few bright spots.
And this, there is the idea that this is a rising tide lifting all boats, that you have Crystal Bridges, you have the business travelers. When the Marshals Museum is built, that if it's good for perhaps Bentonville or Fayetteville or Fort Smith, it's good for everybody?
Well, you know, one would hope. I mean, the Marshals Museum, it will be a key to bringing people here. You know, I hear a lot of folks who are in the Fort Smith area talk about driving up to Bentonville to see the museum, or obviously they go to the game. So the Northwest Arkansas area is getting a lot of travel from the Fort Smith area, but it doesn't happen the other way around. So if you get the Marshals Museum, you know, there'll be some of that, not at the same level. But and the idea also, tourism officials have said, you know, like Richard Davies, the head of the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism, you have the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Crystal Bridges in Northwest Arkansas, the National Marshals Museum in Fort Smith. You know, they see that kind of as a golden tourism triangle. They can get people bussed in and group tours and another great tool to sell Arkansas.
And finally, the Arkansas legislature won't actually officially convene the next general session until January. Yesterday at the state capitol, there was some intrigue as a new state house speaker was elected.
Well, right. You know, and Roby Brock with Talk Business, who I know you have on your show there frequently, we've talked about how this is going to be the most interesting legislative session. You know, you have Republicans now in charge of the House and the Senate. And we've talked about how this is going to be different. We've right out of the gate, you know, it went different beyond what we even thought it would be. And you have Davy Carter, Republican, third term member of the House from Cabot, just pulled up off an upset over Terry Rice out of Waldron. You know, Terry has been the presumptive nominee for over a year, and you know, here comes Davy Carter. Last 3 days, just pulls a coup and develops a coalition using young House members, young Republican House members, and some of the more conservative Democrats, and just upset Rice. So, as you said, we're not even into the 2013 General Assembly, and this thing's already thrown us a big twist.
Well, and I'm going to talk to Roby later in the program and ask him about what does this mean for inside that slim majority of Republicans as the session starts.
Well, it's going to be... Roby and I talked the other day, and I likened it to it's going to be almost parliamentarian in nature. You know, it's just going to be jumping from one coalition to the next, depending on what the issue is. So I think
I suppose
the one word we may see frequently in our coverage of the 2013 General Assembly is coalitions.
You know, I suppose an optimist could look at that and say, well, that's good. Perhaps party lines will not create the sort of deadlock we see in Washington, D.C. I suppose a pessimist would say it could create even more deadlock.
Yeah, well, and that is interesting. The winner, here's the big winner in all of this. No one should be surprised. Governor Beebe is the big winner in all of this. And I continue to find it amazing. I've been watching him for a long time, and I love it when people say, well, we finally, you know, we're going to take on Governor Beebe. And I just think, well, good luck with that. Hope that works out for you.
Don't you think in the state that has the most restrictive legislative term limits, a governor who is in his seventh and eighth year is always going to have the advantage over what is always going to be a somewhat inexperienced legislative body?
Yes, but with Beebe, you not only have his term as governor,
right?
But he was the puppet master, whatever you want to call it. And I don't mean that in a negative term, but he and Senator Harriman, who's from Van Buren, who's now Beebe's chief of staff, they were the brains behind the legislature for many years before term limits. So they know how it works. They know how the legislative side works probably better than any of the legislators down there. I mean, I dare say they've forgotten more about what goes on down there than most of those folks know.
Well, it will be an interesting session to watch when they get together in January.
Strap in.
Well, I hope the rest of your Friday is as quiet as you'd like.
I hope so, and I hope yours is also.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, and happy weekend, Michael.
All right, thanks, Kyle. Thank you.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night. On the Friday edition of the show, I will feature the music of Sean Jones, the great trumpeter who will be performing at the Walton Arts Center on December the 1st. We'll also hear from Bobo Stenson, Cal Jader, Freddie Hubbard, and much more. That's Friday night at 10 p.m.